Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm broadcasting live from the Administaff Small Business Classic in Woodlands, Texas, hard by to Houston. Having a great time down here mixing small business and golf. This is my sixth consecutive year to broadcast my show from here. And just having a great time. Met so many wonderful friends down here, making new friends every year. And yes, I do tee it up a little bit when I'm down here. Let's not lose our heads here. So we got our good buddy Jeffrey Zabar back with us, ladies and gentlemen. Jeff is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, going all the way back to 1999. We've already had our 10th anniversary with him, and as you know, Jeff is our micropreneur expert. If you're a teeny tiny company, maybe even a party of one, maybe even a party of, I sure hope I can start my business soon, that size small business. Even if you're one of those, Jeffrey has got some good stuff for you. He is an award-winning small business journalist. He's the author of a number of books on the topic, and he's our good friend Jeffrey. Welcome back to the show.
And my fee just went up after all that.
Well, your mom got the email right into me, so I knew exactly what to say.
Absolutely, and you're going to double my fee as of today.
Exactly. No question about it. Yeah, check that out in your slip this weekend. Hey, Jeff, what's the word? What's going on out there for our little guys?
Well, I got to tell you that I find that many of us, in as much as big business had to go through the same economic slide that small business went through, and everyone was touched by it. When you're a small business owner, when you're a micropreneur, when you're a soloist out there, it seems a little different. Everything, you don't have teams to fall back on. You don't have departments to fall back on. It really falls to you. And as somebody once told me with regard to sports, and not specifically the sport metaphor that I'm going to use, but any sport, when you're trying to build something, when you're trying to get better, even in entrepreneurship, it's really a marathon. It's not a sprint. Mm-hmm. And, you and I, having really started our businesses about the same time 20 years ago, you don't need to tell us that it truly is a marathon, and there will be high times and there will be low times, and there will be times when it's raining like water, like honey, from heaven, and then sometimes it seems to have dried up, and the marathon concept really comes through. Pardon me
blending another metaphor, but I think it's appropriate to sort of paint a picture of the degree of difficulty. It's a marathon run on a high wire without a net.
Right. Absolutely.
It is a marathon because it's a long way, but it's run on that. There definitely isn't a net under you, and to the degree that there is anything under you, it's very slim. And whatever kind of a net winds up being under you, you build it yourself by building reserves, by growing your brand by some kind of market penetration and market awareness. I mean, there are a lot of different ways you can build a little bit of a net on you, but basically, there's not much there.
Yeah, and to play with that metaphor a little bit, how high your wire is really dependent upon how risk averse you are.
Yeah.
Or how willing you are to take risks. So, in many instances, we don't settle. The entrepreneurs who really seek more and want more out of what they do will raise that wire just a little bit higher. They'll span it between two-story buildings to start, and you start small. In many instances, obviously there are those who grow businesses from a home and they end up being very, very large, move out, and then, Dell, for example, and any number of companies were started from home. Apple and any number of companies out there started from a very, very small enterprise.
Right.
And grew to be very, very large. But
Henry Ford built his first quadricycle in his garage.
You know what? One of the original home officers. But then you know that you want to grow beyond that. Now, that's not to say that you want to take that home office out of the home. I've spoken to this gentleman before, a man named James Chen, who wrote a book, Spare Room Tycoon, about the concept of only growing your business so large that it does not need to grow from beyond the confines of the home. So it may be networking, it may be you bring in virtual assistants, you may, you know, you may outsource all sorts of labor, but you never grow beyond the home. You know, in many ways,
And you know, and that, but that, but see, that doesn't mean that you don't have, you only have leverage of one,
right?
Because Jeffrey, my organization is not very big,
right?
I mean, I've only got a handful of folks in my organization that work directly for my company, but because of the way we've chosen to leverage resources, we make payroll, or partial, we help make payroll at least for about 20 other people.
Right.
So, you know, in the beauty of entrepreneurship in the 21st century is you can't judge the book by looking at that cover, because I mean, you could have one person working in a spare room of a condo, and they could be, you know, you might say, wow, this is, you know, this is a teeny tiny little operation. And that person could be pulling the strings for hundreds of people, maybe thousands.
Absolutely. Yeah,
because
I mean, talk about not judging the book.
And it's all because
exactly
of the outsourcing layer. I mean, the marketplace in the last 20 to 30 years, Jeffrey, has really grown an outsourcing stratosphere, or a layer, I should say, of opportunity and power and resources.
Right. Absolutely. And we've seen that. I mean, I go out of town, I take my laptop, and I'm in touch with people I work with on projects. You know, if I have my laptop and my air card, you know, I can work from anywhere.
Absolutely.
And especially using, you know, cloud computing and the different components of that, you know, you can stay connected with anybody from anywhere, and then, frankly, toss on VoIP on top of that, and you're literally good to go.
Voice over IP.
Voice over internet protocol, exactly.
Using the internet to convey voices, to convey audio, the audio sound, which is really coming into its own right now.
Yes, exactly.
But that's a technology discussion. We've had that one, or we will have it. But we're back to the entrepreneur thing. I mean, this the tools, the leverage, the pricing. I mean, many of the things you and I just talked about are very low cost or no cost.
Yeah, I mean, and so much of it is spot on as far as, you know, free, you know, or very, very, very inexpensive, or you amortize it over time. But the issue is that the things that you want to use, the things you want to do,
right.
You know, whether you're sourcing domestically or abroad for some of your labor.
Jeff, hold on to that thought. This break slipped right up on me. It's 20 till, 20 after, I should say. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you use it to your advantage. We built it just for you. And you can find lots of things there, including how to find my blog. You can subscribe to my newsletter. You can check out my my Brain Trust members. You can read articles. You can listen to archives. Lots and lots of stuff there that will help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. And if you got 5 seconds or 15 minutes or anywhere in between, we got something in that time frame. And so if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Continuing to broadcast live from Woodlands, Texas at the Administaff Small Business Classic, visiting with our good friend Jeffrey Zabar, longtime member of our Brain Trust. Jeff, give us your website, please.
www.chiefhomeofficer.com.
All right, so check that out. They can find your books there too, can't they?
They can find all my content and lots of it up there on this and many other topics.
There you go. Jeff, and it's Chief Home Office on Twitter, right?
Exactly, at Chief Home Office.
At Chief Home Office.
Ditch that off, 15 characters or less.
We're talking about the basic issue of being a micropreneur. You know, I met a guy once, Jeff, who believed that unless you were building a company that was definitely going to be a Gazelle, you know, one of those companies that go from zero to 500 employees in less than 10 years. He, in his mind, he actually told me that he didn't think that, he thought that was the only definition of an entrepreneur.
Right.
In other words, you and I are entrepreneurs because after 20 years, we still haven't employed, you know, we haven't gone public, so to speak.
Right.
In his mind, that's not an entrepreneur. And I told him I thought he was wrong.
Absolutely.
And I debated that topic with him. And I don't think I ever convinced him, but I think I did open his eyes a little bit.
Well, you know what? Let's get him together. We're going to have a chat, and we're going to pound it into his head that, you know what? American business is not built upon, you know, small business. I don't know what the Small Business Administration stats are right now, but
500.
You know, Some well, I mean, in the sense of, you know, what drives American economy.
As we've seen,
you know, the GMs of the world are the ones that are, I mean, everyone's having a hard time.
He wasn't minimizing or denigrating small businesses. He was just saying that the use of the term entrepreneur, he had a very tight definition, a very narrow definition of what an entrepreneur is, and I just don't think that's right.
Well, my belief is if you are an entrepreneur if you receive a 1099 from a client at the end of the year. Okay,
yeah, because you're untethered, to use one of your terms.
Absolutely.
You're untethered.
You cannot receive a W-2 and be an entrepreneur. You can think like an entrepreneur and be an employee of a company, but you're not an entrepreneur. If you don't cut those cords, you know, that tether, and if you don't sort of put yourself out there to sink or swim, you know, fly or fall on your own, then, you know, it almost sounds like a Jeff Foxworthy routine. You know you're a redneck. You know you're an entrepreneur if. Sounds like a book.
You know, I've got a friend who's a professor, now retired, and, you know, he's never had an entrepreneurial a breath in his life, and he admits it. But he likes to tell his friends, yeah, I've got this friend of mine, Jim Blassingame. He lives by his wits.
There you go.
And that's the thing. That's what entrepreneurs do, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know what?
It doesn't matter if you're home based, or if your goal is to be in one, and you're happy with that, or if your goal is to be, is to go public. I think entrepreneurship isn't about the jobs you create or about how you're structured. Entrepreneurship is a state of mind. It's the things that you do, the risks that you take, and the dream that you have.
Right. It's absolutely all that. And I know your friend wasn't denigrating us, the little folk out there, but I mean, there are entrepreneurs. I interviewed a gentleman last week who's got a multi-million-dollar company as a company of one. Okay, so, you know, there are people who can do this, and you know, tell me that's not an entrepreneur.
The other thing is, in his mind, and it proved to me that he didn't really understand this sector of the economy. In his mind, the gazelles, as you've heard them, the term used, gazelles just sort of appear out of nowhere, and they're instinctively, immediately, the moment the company is born, they're a gazelle. And I said, are you crazy? I said, do you know how many businesses have grown to be huge, to be your definition of a gazelle, and they were started on a kitchen table with no idea where they were going?
Right.
In the beginning?
Absolutely. I mean, look at your business from where you are now versus where you are 20 years ago. What I'm doing, where I am now versus where I am 20 years ago. This marathon, no one said this marathon was going to be like the Boston Marathon, where you can look at it on a map and have your friends lined up and cheering you on at mile 5, at mile 10, at mile 25 as you're ready to cross the finish line at 26.3. I mean, you know, this is not a well-plotted course. I mean, this is a meandering marathon if ever there was one, but it's a marathon nonetheless, and it's one that we build and enjoy on our own.
And if you don't like running, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't like running, knowing that you're going to hit a wall out there and you got to push through that wall, if that's not your cup of tea, be sure to clock in tomorrow.
Absolutely. Go check the want ads, you and 10 million other people.
Yeah, 17.
17 million, excuse me.
Yeah, that's unemployed and underemployed. That's the number I keep hearing. But anyway, no, exactly. You've got to, if this is not what you want, folks, and you know the idea of being an entrepreneur is exciting, but it's also scary, and it's not a sprint. It is a marathon. Jeffrey, you're going to stay with me one more segment.
Absolutely.
I've got a different topic I want to ask you about. We're going to talk about something, folks. I want to talk to Jeffrey about the balancing that we should do between virtual connection and physical connection with other people, like our customers. We're going to talk about that right after this break. 20 on after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
The way you dance and hold me tight. The way you kiss and say goodnight. Rain on, it's a crazy feeling.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.